So, as some of you guys probably don't know me, I'm Caden. I live in Oregon, Canby, Oregon. The pastor is Brother David Stegmeyer. He's also my grandpa, so it's a privilege to have him as my grandpa. I'm very blessed to have a family that has been raised up in the church. My grandpa went out to Oregon many years back, and he always raised up his 7 children in the church. Some may not be there anymore, but I have 5 family members there in Canby with us, or 5 of my uncles and aunts and their wives or husbands. And I got many cousins there that all serve the Lord, and I'm very thankful for that. And it's such a blessing to be with family and be able to serve the Lord together. So I've been praying about this for quite a while, and I've asked the Lord to help me with this, but I was laid with a question my 8th grade year preparing for a trip, and he just asked us, how are you preparing? And like, I didn't think anything of it, but then as life went on and church went on, I thought about that more. So my question tonight is, how are you preparing? And if you have your Bible, why don't you turn with us to Exodus 2. It says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. And so what this is saying is, God is our strength through all trials and tests. And we may face, but because of him, we are able to have salvation. And we're very thankful for that. And if he is your God, then you need to prepare to meet him. And that's what we need to prepare a habitation. Our body is a temple, and that's what we can prepare for God. A habitation is like a place for which God can live in, and so that's like our soul. And so that's the place God wants you to prepare the most, is your soul, so he can live in it. Let me think here. To exalt him means to raise him up or to praise him, so we need to thank God the most we can and praise him. And that doesn't mean just like testifying or something, but when you're on the road and something happens good for you and like it's really nice, or somebody comes up and opens the door, you need to thank God for that. You also need to thank them, but thank God because God kind of told them or like showed them that they should do that for you. And it's something you just really need to thank God for. If you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel 7, 3 and 4. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. So I said only a little bit bolder, because God doesn't want us serving anybody else but him.
Right.
He is the only person that we should really direct ourselves towards. I'm not just talking about, or the verse doesn't just talk about like different religions. He's also talking about technology, sports, popularity, money, anything that really could take you away from serving God. And we see that a lot in the church today, is people get so distracted with other priorities, is what they say, priorities. But really, our number one priority is serving God. I think that's really what we should focus everything on. 2 Chronicles 35 and 6. So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves, and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord and by the hand of Moses. So what this is saying is, if you're trying to save others, like a family member or a friend that's out in the world and that like really wants to serve the Lord but they can't, then you need to be an example. My cousins, I had 3 that were out in the world, and they would come to church every so often. Their names are Ashlyn, Coleman, and Bryn. And we've been praying for them for years and years. And during this past camp meeting, we had such a wonderful, wonderful service. It was one massive altar call, and almost all the young people went down. It was very precious. And during that altar call, Bryn made her way down. And it was very touching because Bryn has been out in the world for maybe 5 to 6 years, maybe longer, I don't know. But she has a kid now and a husband, and now that she's back to the Lord, she'll be able to raise her child up in the Lord, and it's quite a blessing for all of us. And then after Bryn went down, Coleman went down, and while we were praying for him, well, after we were praying for him, Candy, which is Coleman, Bryn's mom, turns to me, and at the altar she says, "It's because of your life and your cousin's life that they came back to the Lord." And so really everybody's watching us. We have to be an example, and we got to show them what the life of a Christian is really about. And then a few days later, we had another altar call, a little smaller, but still important. Ashlyn made her way down to the altar, and she got saved again, or saved. And it was very touching because she was kind of the one that you need to encourage the most. Bryn started coming back for a few weeks, and Coleman, he would come back so often, but Ashlyn, she really kind of stayed away from the church and really stayed away from her cousins a little bit more. But I texted her before camp meeting. I said, "We really miss you. I really hope you can make it to the camp meeting. I hope you can just come and see what it's about." And she told my grandma that I was the one who was encouraging her, and that she had a few different cousins encourage her too, and it was because of that that she came back to the church, and that was the reason why she got saved, and we're very thankful for that.
Right.
You have to do everything in the Lord, though. You can't just partly do things in the Lord. He doesn't like us when we're half-hearted in our service. He wants our whole heart when we're doing things, and everything has to be in His name. We can't say, "Oh, I thank you for what you've done for me." It's really what God's done. And it's just something you really got to do is do everything in the Lord. Job 8:8-9. "For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and I prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow." So this is really talking about the young people. We as young people have not been through the number of trials and tests as the older saints have, and we really need to seek out for help to the older saints. And I was thinking about this, and we really need to ask the pastor what to do, because he is being led by God. He every message is given to him by God, and he knows the best. Mm-hmm. And so, really, if you're looking for somebody to talk to when you're in a trial or in a test, or really you're just down in the dumps, the pastor is your best person to talk to. If God gives the wisdom to the pastor to preach a message and to lay upon everybody what God has laid upon him, then how does he not have the wisdom to talk to you and get you through the trial? In verse 8, it says, prepare thyself. So it's not asking you to prepare other people. It's asking you to prepare yourself. And only yourself until you can get saved and you feel prepared. Then you can start encouraging others. But that doesn't mean you stop preparing yourself. Your priority is you. Because you're going to be the one on Judgment Day that is going to be answering to God. There's going to be no one there but you. And so the way you prepare yourself to meet God is really what's going to get you to heaven or hell. So 1 Peter 3:20. "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water." So, while God was waiting for Noah to build the ark, God patiently waited for spirits to obey him. because Noah preached the gospel, trying to get everybody to know God and get on the ark with him. But really, it was just 8 people that got on the ark. And a few months back, somebody was preaching about. They were just preaching, and they said that 8,000 people were in Noah's day, or 8 million people were in Noah's day, but only 8 got on the ark. Just think about that. That's 1 in 1 million people got on that ark, and that's 8 of Noah's family members. So, just ask yourself, or let's say it was just you and your family who's serving the Lord. Would you leave or would you stay? 2 examples come to my mind. One is my grandpa. When he first started preaching, his entire family, like aunts, uncle, or not aunts, uncles, but maybe siblings and parents were there. But then when he first started ministering, he lost 20 of his family members. Just think about that. 20. So that'd be about almost every single one of my cousins left the church. And it was just me out of my cousin serving God. And he didn't leave, though. He stood strong. Amen. And he stayed in the church. And that's why he's the great man he is today. Another person that comes to mind, most of you guys may know him, is Stephen Cranston. For years, he came to church and he was by himself. Like, his mom didn't come, his brothers didn't come, his sister didn't come, and his dad didn't come. But just this past, it was the very last Sunday, the morning service of the camp meeting, his dad made his way down to the altar. And he came back to the Lord. And Stephen, some of you guys may saw him, but he was sobbing. And it was, he's not the best looking crier, but man, nobody really cared because it was so meaningful what happened. Because his dad, Wednesday got up and testified, and he's been out in the world for I think he said 7 years, and he just came back to the Lord, and he can't help but thank God because he's the one that saved him, he's the one that brought him back to the church, and it was through Stephen's faithfulness and commitment to serving God that really brought his dad back. Because Stephen told me, every Sunday or Wednesday night, he'd ask his dad if he'd want to go to church with him. And his dad always said, "No, I have to do some yard work. No, I got to clean up around the house. No, this and that." But then that one service, when he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come," he came back to the Lord and he got saved. Right. And what a meaningful thing that is. Let's go to Isaiah 43 and 5. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." When we are facing hard trials, that seem like mountains, or in a valley, and we want to get it raised up, we have to seek God and ask Him to prepare us for our trial. Really, He's the only person that could ask or that can help us through trials and tests. We can't ask a worldly person or anybody that's not saved to help us because they don't understand what we're going through. Only God and some, like the pastor, he knows what we're going through. And he's the only those are the only people that can really help us through those trials. We all struggle, but it's the way we face that struggle that will either put us out on top as Christians, or bring us down on bottom where we're no longer saved and we need to come back to the Lord. My last thought is a Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you guys most likely know this. Vain confidence had too much pride and confidence in himself that he didn't think he needed God. So on that judgment day when he faced God with the book of life in God's hands, he was sent to hell because God did not find vain confidence's name in the book of life. So really, he was too proud. So really, he was too proud to think about what he needs to do to prepare for the judgment. And he was too proud to think about God and what he needs to be getting right with his soul. But on the other hand, Christian had faith and held strong to God. And by doing that, he prepared himself to meet God. And so on that judgment day, God found his book probably right at the top. Probably found his name right at the top and said, "Oh, you're always welcome in." And God opened up those gates and he walked straight in. The way I think about it is, when a soul's entered into heaven, everybody there is rejoicing because another soul made it into heaven. And just to think about that is really, really quite phenomenal, because if everybody in heaven right now is waiting for somebody to get up there and walk in through those gates, how happy would they be to see us go in? If we all were saved and we all went through heaven or went into heaven, how happy would they be? That's just how I look at it. A quote that I've been told was, "When you fail to prepare, you're preparing to fail."
Right, right.
So just think about that again. When you fail to prepare, so if you don't prepare to meet God, then you just prepared to fail. And so that's just something I've thought about for a long, long time, is how are we preparing? What are we doing to prepare ourselves for the judgment day? One day we will be with Jesus, so we need to prepare. God gives you so many opportunities to prepare for him. We can pray. We can read our Bible. We can sing along in church. You may think these are small things, but really, it's the small things that lead to the big things. And another thing, a few more things I was thinking about was, be involved in young people's. Like, you really don't think about, or you probably go through the motions and don't think about how young people's is that important, but really, young people's can start speaking to you first, and then once you get into the main service, it'll come at you even more.
True.
And by the altar call, you'll want to go down there because you've heard so much, and you've been inspired to go down to the altar. Bible study groups are another great way to stay involved and kind of prepare yourself. So I ask you again, how are you preparing? Are you preparing to meet God, or are you preparing to just go through the motions? Are you failing to prepare? Because if you are, then you're preparing to fail. So as we pray, just ask yourself, how are you preparing? Dear Jesus, we ask you tonight to please help all the youth to take this to heart. And Lord, ask them to see what they need to do to prepare for you, Lord. Ask them what they need to do to better themselves, to become a better servant of you, Lord. And we ask you to please lead us with them and please help them to see what they need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.